I'm Kevin Hatchard, and this is the Ultimate Sports Podcast. This week is another special Olympics edition. We'll be reviewing the game so far with our Olympics editor, Johnny Hart. Johnny joins me now, and Johnny, what's your assessment of the game so far?
Well, we're almost at the end, really, aren't we? And I think everybody agrees this has got to be one of British sport's greatest events, if not the greatest event. And we have to go back to last Saturday night with an amazing 45 minutes in the Olympic Stadium where we won three gold medals. This was on a day we won six altogether, unparalleled really since 1908, when I think there were about five nations in the Olympics in 1908 and we had most of the competitors. But it was quite an extraordinary hour or so, wasn't it, to watch these great British sportsmen and women, of course, Jessica Ennis and Greg Rutherford and Mo Farah, all getting gold medals in that very short period of time in a packed Olympic stadium. It was a beautiful night and one that I'll never forget.
And something that somebody will... and a night that British sports fans will remember for a long, long time, arguably the best night ever of British athletics.
Certainly of British athletics, but the debate is, I mean, is that a better experience, a better night than 1966? And I'm not sure you can quite make the comparison because the modern era versus sort of the old era of black and white. But what was great about it was that it was the whole country. It was Great Britain. And, you know, football these... I mean, everybody's been quite negative about football over the last couple of weeks in terms of the way footballers behave compared with athletes. They compare their dedication levels, the fact that it's not about money. It's about dedication. It's about something extra, wanting to be the best and working hard and motivation. And all that goes with, you know, getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning if you're a swimmer. More about the swimmers later. Or an athlete. And we've seen it through every single sport, that all of the athletes, but more particularly the British ones. And obviously a home games is a massive advantage for lots of reasons. And that's why, you know, a lot of the medals have been won and a lot of golds have been won. If you look at the equestrian, for instance, I think it's three gold medals we got all in for that. I mean, if you're transporting horses to Rio in 2016, it's a lot more difficult to win gold medals because a horse will get affected by a flight. So this was the time where we're actually going to do best in the equestrian and the show jumping events. But I don't really want to talk about that because those are real sideline events compared with what we've done in the cycling, what we've done in the athletics. It's been an incredible achievement. And the velodrome... It's a tough choice, isn't it, between the atmosphere in the velodrome and the atmosphere in the Olympic Stadium, because it's a much smaller stadium and it's been success after success. If Victoria Pendleton hadn't been disqualified from both of her other events, we would have got all but one gold medal probably. And it's a Chris Hoy winning his sixth gold medal, surpassing Sir Steve Redgrave, winning in his last ever race, although he's 99.99% sure it's his last race. Andy Murray beating Roger Federer on centre court in the final at Wimbledon. That was one standout event for me. And of course, it's not just about Britain. It's about the Usain Bolts of this world, or he's out of this world. Michael Phelps, who achieved history as well. It's been one thing after another, hasn't it? All positivity. And this Olympic Games couldn't have really gone much better. We've had decent weather. In fact, the weather's getting even better now. Transport problems never actually happened. I think the only down, really, would be the seating and the ticket fiasco. But you can't have everything, really.
No, let's break down a couple of those massive achievements. You mentioned the cycling. So many good performances. So Chris Hoy, you mentioned, obviously got to six individual gold medals. He is the most decorated British Olympian of all time, therefore. Other good performances, Jason Kenny, what pressure on him coming in to replace Chris Hoy, but still won in the men's sprint. Laura Trott, two gold medals for her. Dave Brailsford has to take a huge amount of credit for not only what he's done with Team Sky in things like the Tour de France. Obviously, Bradley Wiggins won the Tour de France. He also then went on to win Olympic gold in the time trial. What an extraordinary job he's done.
Incredible, isn't it? And I think it was back in 1997, something like 15 years ago, he came into the sport and decided to treat it as a science, which is what he's done. And there was a lot of talk after Beijing, wasn't there? Well, the rest of the world are going to catch up with us, particularly the Australians, because I suppose some people would suggest that cycling is one of the weaker sports in terms of how you can achieve more gold or silver or bronze medals at the Olympic Games, because not that many nations have got velodromes. But the Australians have had their opportunities. We've had countries like Germany, et cetera, who also have the facilities. But people like Dave Brailsford, probably going to be Sir Dave Brailsford coming up shortly, have taken it to the nth degree. There is no stone unturned, whether it's to do with diet, the bikes, the science, the physical condition, the picking of the very, very brilliant athletes out there. I mean, Laura Trott, how old is she?
She's 20, I think.
Yeah, I mean, she could be around. I mean, she could be our greatest female Olympian. She's already got two gold medals at the age of 20. If you look at someone like Victoria Pendleton, whose career has lasted more than a decade, Laura could win 6-7 gold medals between now and 2020, a long way off. And I know, you know, it takes it out of you, that sport. But the cycling has been quite amazing.
You mentioned at the top about that incredible Saturday night that we had in the athletics. Just to kind of get underneath that, Jessica Ennis in the heptathlon, she was the face of the games. Lord Coe himself said she was the face of the games. Billboards everywhere in the build-up to these Olympic Games. What huge pressure and what an incredible performance. Not just winning the event, but actually battering the field.
And it was so important that she nailed her first couple of events, wasn't it, really? The 100-metre hurdles. That wonderful stat which suggested that had she run that at Beijing, she would have medalled or even won the...
I think she would have medalled. But yeah, I mean, to get a British record in your opening event...
I know. That was a brilliant start in front of a packed stadium. Normally what happens at the heptathlon or the decathlon is they normally start on the morning, on the first morning of the athletics, and it's usually a sort of quarter-empty stadium. But of course, this is London, and everybody was... I mean, you could have probably sold out the athletic stadium 10 times over on every single day, and there were 80,000 people packed in. That must have helped Jess Ennis on that first morning, although she did look quite nervous before the hurdles. Once she nailed that time, from then on, it looked like there's only going to be one winner here, and she kept doing it. I mean, if you do look at her achievements, I mean, she's so good on the track that it does make up for perhaps some weaknesses in some of the field events. It makes a massive difference, doesn't it, really, when you are that fast and you can make up that many points. But it's wonderful. It was a wonderful way to start that Saturday night, wasn't it, for the face of the games, our Jess winning the gold medal. And then the Greg Rutherford thing was the biggest surprise. We thought that Mo Farah had an excellent chance. He got a silver in the World Championships, gold in the 5,000 metres in the World Championships, and it looked like that was a distinct possibility. But for Greg Rutherford to do what he had to do, which was, you know, jump almost as far as he'd ever jumped before, not quite, but to do it when it really mattered. That is what the Olympics tells people, isn't it, really? It's about doing it when it really matters. And his performance in the long jump was amazing.
Other extraordinary performances, the Brownlee brothers in the triathlon, Alistair Brownlee coming home in gold and his brother Johnny getting bronze. That was an extraordinary performance. You mentioned Andy Murray in the tennis. Obviously, there's always a debate about tennis because the Olympic gold is not perhaps the pinnacle for tennis players. But that is a hugely, hugely important win for him. He said it was the best week of his tennis life. And that now shows not just himself, but that shows some of his detractors that he's capable of beating the best, beat Djokovic in the semi, beat Federer in the final. He can beat the best and he can win major tournaments.
I think that is the most important psychological blow for Andy Murray. It might not be taken that seriously in some tennis quarters, the Olympic Games. But you're right, he's beaten, you know, two of the best, Djokovic and Federer. Federer looked slightly off his game on that particular Saturday.
Yeah, I think that semi against Del Potro in 1917 in the third, I think that definitely took it out of him. He admitted it took a bit out of him emotionally.
Yeah, but it wasn't a five-set match, though, was it?
No, it wasn't, but I think it was so tight and it was such a grueling affair. I mean, it was well over 4 hours, I think, wasn't it? So, you know, it was a really tough match for him to come through.
You'd have to say that Murray coming up with the US Open in September, you'd be more confident about him now than you would have, say, 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, absolutely, because he's got that under his belt now, hasn't he? It's a hugely important step for him to have made.
What about some of the... I mean, it's all positivity around here, isn't it? But there have been some disappointments, and we've touched on the swimmers, haven't we? And
yeah.
It was disappointing, considering the resources that have gone into British swimming and how well we did in Beijing. We've ended up with, what, 3 medals... 2 for Becky Adlington, and the only standout performance for me out of all the British swimmers, Michael Jameson, who ran a personal best and was so close to a gold medal. It was only really beaten by a world record, that performance.
Yeah, I mean, Jameson was always in contention for a medal, but just lost out to Daniel Guerta right at the end. But as you say, a superb performance to push him that far. Becky Adlington, I was a little bit disappointed with her bronze in the 800 free because she was, you know, the form girl in that event. She had the gold medal to
defend. She'd broken the world record, hadn't she? A long-standing world record broke in 08.
And it was thought that the Dane Lotte Freese was her only real adversary. But as we've seen in these throughout these games, Katie Ledecky, the American swimmer, a teenager, came through and produced an extraordinary performance to win. They were the medals, but there was a group of especially female swimmers who we expected to perform, and they just didn't. Ellen Gandy was a real medal hope in the 200-meter butterfly. She didn't even get past the heats, paced her race completely wrong. Fran Halsall, a lot was made of the fact she was entering 5 events. Didn't medal in any of them.
She was close.
She was, but this is the problem, you see. She was ranked in the top 5 in most of those events, but she couldn't turn that into a medal performance. And when you looked at the fields before each event, you realised that it was going to take an amazing performance for her to do something. So, yeah, hugely disappointing.
Let's not focus too much on any negativity in the swimming because, you know...
No, but I think you need to an extent, because we've seen some excellent performances. And, you know, we can't therefore say that it's all good, because bad performances can't be brushed under the carpet. Because as a team, that swimming set have not performed anywhere near their ability. Kerri-Ann Payne, hard as she's worked to prepare for the 10K open water, those conditions should have been good for her. And she should really have been looking at least a medal, if not gold, and she finished 4th. And while obviously that's heartbreaking for her, you have to look behind this and say, well, look, why aren't our swimmers performing in the way that they should? As you said, Michael Jameson, the only personal best, not really good enough.
Okay, let's get back to some positivity, though. Usain Bolt, who didn't disappoint, did he, really? He
certainly not.
He was fantastic in both the 100 and the 200 metres. The level of expectations didn't seem to bother him at all, really. In fact, he seemed to enjoy it all, really. He was very relaxed before both the races, chatting away with some of the other runners and also some of the people on the track, which was nice to see. I mean, he really has saved track and field over the last 5 years or so, hasn't he? Because he's such a good and positive force for the sport.
Well, like Ennis, you know, she was under huge pressure going into the games, and he was as well, because not only was he one of the faces of the games, if you like, and he's, as you say, pretty much the face of track and field, he didn't come into it in great form. He'd been beaten twice by his compatriot, Johan Blake, at the Jamaican Trials. He hadn't run particularly well at Ostrava in one of the build-up events. He'd had problems with his back, and there were a lot of doubters. There were a lot of people who said, you know what, I'm not sure he can do it this time. And not only did he do it, he did it in style. I mean,
And it's great that he did it, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Because it really was the icing on the cake for what I think is probably the best ever Olympic Games. But I would say that, wouldn't I?
Yeah, I think we would. I think...
It's always important that a host nation does well in the Olympics.
Yeah.
So you can tick that box.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Now, the crowds, the spectators, full everywhere.
Yeah, crowds have been awesome. Well, as you said, a great symbol of that is you had a packed out stadium for athletics heats. I mean, that's unheard of.
Yeah.
That just doesn't happen. Like you say, it's normally a half to quarter full stadium for heats. We had thousands and thousands of people turning up. The boxing, the taekwondo, for the preliminaries, we've had full stadia at the XL. Huge turnouts on the boxing. A great performance from Britain's Nicola Adams as well. The first ever woman to take an Olympic boxing title, and fully deserved. I was hugely impressed with her performances.
It's funny, isn't it? Don't you think that a lot of people were against women's boxing, even up until very recently? They thought it was wrong for women to box. All of a sudden, it's the in thing, isn't it? And I would imagine there'll be a lot of women and girls around the country who'll take up the sport now. It'd be very surprising if there aren't thousands trying to enlist at boxing clubs. I mean, I don't know whether the facilities are there really for female boxers in the UK, but I think it'd be a very good thing.
There will be. I mean, it's no different to male boxing in the sense that the facilities are the same, the training is the same. You know, Nicola Adams started off going to a gym just with her mum, so her mum could keep an eye on her while she did her keep fit classes.
Mm.
And while she was there, Nicola Adams, unbeknownst to her, got into boxing, started doing some training, and it went from there. The facilities are there.
Are they?
Yeah, they should be. There's no difference. I mean, the difference between men's boxing and women's boxing, we're talking about amateur level. It's the same equipment. It's the same facilities. So if the facilities are there to bring guys through, the facilities are there to bring girls through. So it's exactly the same thing. Thankfully, as you say, the success will remove some of the boneheaded objections to women's boxing. I don't think it should be seen in any way differently to men's boxing. And hopefully, girls like Nicola Adams will be able to inspire a generation of female boxers in this country.
You mentioned the motto, inspire a generation. This game certainly seems to have done that. When they presented the case for London 2012 way back in 2005, it was always about the legacy. And in terms of sport and sports activity, let's hope that is the case. It looks like it certainly has inspired a generation a lot more than we thought. What we're going to do with the Olympic Stadium after the games have finished, and what will happen to the Olympic Park, I don't know. I'd love to think that it'll become one of the country's big attractions. People coming along, trying the facilities, tourism, because it really, having been to the Olympic Park on a couple of occasions, it really was a wonderful place to hang out, and really just wonderful to see British people and people from all over the world really enjoying themselves in such a positive way, because we do have quite a lot, you know, to be depressed about. You know, with the way the economy's been going over the last few years. And, you know, it's a cruel world, but for 2.5 weeks, things have just been marvellous, haven't they?
Well, I think long-term, we'll have to wait and see whether the legacy can be fulfilled in terms of the next sporting generation. We hope that will be the case. Certainly, you hear plenty of stories of kids who've gone along to events and then they've signed up for, you know, classes in different things. It's like the old Wimbledon thing, isn't it? You always see tennis courts full after Wimbledon. You hope that there'll be a big kind of runoff from that, certainly in cycling as well. Bradley Wiggins started it off with his win in the Tour de France, and that's been carried on with all the success in the velodrome. So hopefully this will be the case. I mean, other sports like dressage and like the equestrian events, obviously that's more difficult because you can't just rock up with a horse. But, you know, there are people within equestrianism will tell you that there are facilities for people from all different backgrounds. There is the ability to ride horses if you look hard enough. It's not just elitist. They're at pains to stress that. So hopefully, in all of these different disciplines, there'll be opportunities. And it's to do with whether those facilities will be made available. A lot of talk about the aquatic centre being made available to the public afterwards. Hopefully that will be the case.
So what's your one standout moment of the games, if you had to pick one?
If I had to pick one, that Saturday night with...
No, that's not a moment. That was an
Jessica
hour.
Jessica Ennis crossing the line.
Yeah, I think Jessica Ennis coming back after she went behind in that race, didn't she?
I think the look on her face in the 800 as she crosses the line.
Yes.
And knows that she's done it. After all the pressure, after all the expectation, after all the interviews, the talk, to have finally done it and to have crossed that 800 metres and know, that's it, I've done it. That's
and Mo Farah moment. Pulling away in the 5,000?
Yeah, but 10,000, I should say. I think with him, obviously he's got another event that he's going for as well. But there was pressure on him, but I think there was more pressure on Ennis because There was so much focus on her, and I think to have come through, and because she's had so much disappointment with injuries, she'd missed the previous Olympics, she'd lost a couple of big titles as well. So, you know, that was a big, big performance from her. And yours?
I tend to agree with that, but I'd probably go for Mo. If I can't have Ennis, I'll go for Mo pulling away from the field in that 10,000 metre final, because bearing in mind what happened at the World Athletics Championships, where he was expected to win and didn't quite make it, there was a lot of pressure on him, and he was getting bullied a little bit in the group as they were going round for the final lap or two, wasn't he? And it's a great story, isn't it? It's a story of contemporary Britain coming to this country at the age of 8, and let's hope he inspires a generation as well. And that I think Farah and Ennis sum up what's great about this country, don't you?
I think so. Well, I think, as you say, you know, debates will rage about multiculturalism and the benefits and the drawbacks and what have you. But I think to have people like Mo Farah and Jessica Ennis as inspirational symbols for people to follow, I think is a great thing and a great reflection on our country. So,
and isn't it nice not to have to listen to footballers talk nonsense most of the time? And the nature of that sport is so money orientated and pretty aggressive as well. It's a pleasure to speak and interview athletes. They're a different breed from a lot of contemporary sportsmen, aren't they?
Well, it'll be interesting to see when the Premier League restarts, how quickly kind of the interest in the Olympics fades. Obviously, mm-hmm. We've got the Paralympics, so hopefully it won't be taken over too quickly, but I have a feeling that it won't take long for the Premier League bandwagon to start rolling once again. Hopefully we haven't annoyed fans of other sports by picking our greatest moments, both in athletics. There's probably lots of dressage fans annoyed and cycling fans annoyed. I'm sure you've
taekwondo.
All got... Taekwondo, Jade Jones. Magnificent. Brilliant. Performance in the taekwondo. I'm sure you've all got your own favourite.
Didn't mention
moments.
The rowers.
No, we didn't. We didn't.
Is that a class thing, Kev?
Oh, maybe it is. But we mentioned dressage, so it can't be.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you've all got your individual favourite moments of the games, and I'm sure you'll be able to debate those over the weekend as the games
answers on a postcard
come to a close. So from Johnny and myself, it's goodbye for this week, and we'll be back next week.